Artificial intelligence has become a bigger part of our day-to-day lives, but a new paper argues it's not immune from human bias and errors. Bill Welser is a co-author of that report. He leads the Engineering and Applied Sciences Department at the RAND Corporation. And Bill, can you walk us through what you were trying to find out with this research?
Absolutely. So artificial intelligence is all around us, and it is something that is created by humans, coded by humans. And as such, there are going to be whether explicit or implicit biases that are baked into that code. So we wanted to explore what that meant for the user community and what things people should be paying attention to before they accept the artificial intelligence that's being built into their systems.
What kinds of biases were you looking at specifically? What kinds of things did you find?
Right. So biases in general come, when it comes to computer programming, come in about three broad areas. So the first is, you know, the explicit and or implicit biases of the individual programmer. So the programmers may have come from a very specific socioeconomic point of view or upbringing, and thus they know the world in a very specific way. And they may have an explicit bias based on that or implicit biases, you know, based on how they were brought up. The second thing is that the class of people or the pool of people who are building these systems all come from roughly the same type of privilege. And by privilege, I mean having access to opportunity to go and learn computer science. And thus, that carries this kind of explicit or implicit set of biases for that pool of people. And then the last thing is these artificial systems, they're learning systems. And to learn, they need to be given data. And we call this training data. And depending on what training data the systems are given, they could come up with a ton of different outcomes or answers. And if, you know, the adage garbage in equals garbage out, this is very true here with artificial intelligence, but quite worrisome because a lot of times the stuff that's coming out, people don't understand whether or not it's garbage or not just because they don't understand the system itself.
On the first two points, it seems like having more diversity in terms of coders and programmers would go a long way to reducing some of those biases.
Absolutely. And the diversity is not just from an ethnic or racial or gender standpoint, although those are really important and we need to start there. But it is also, we're a global community now. And applications and systems that are built in Silicon Valley, for example, aren't necessarily going to be, you know, tailored correctly to be adopted in sub-Saharan Africa, for example. But as a global community, we can expect that many of these applications will move across the globe into other types of society, or other parts of society, excuse me. And thus, we need to be thinking about how they might use them and how the outcomes might affect their lives.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the kinds of ways in which this might affect somebody's day-to-day life, and it seems like it could be something as sort of innocuous as suggestions, you know, based on your Netflix queue or something, but they could be potentially a lot more significant than that too, right?
Absolutely. So obviously the recommendation engines are one way that we're all affected by artificial intelligence on a day-to-day basis. But there are some very specific examples where AI systems are being pushed into more important decision-making arenas. An example of this is within the criminal justice system. And there's an outstanding piece of work done by ProPublica last year on an application or a tool called the Compass Recidivism application. And this was being used in the court system to inform the sentencing of criminals. And it was giving sentencing suggestions to the judges. And it turned out that this system was in fact biased based on the way that the training data was fed into the system, so thus the way the system was learning, and how that information was then interpreted to be passed along to the judges. And it was giving outcomes that, you know, in a meaningful way affected people's freedoms and lives.
On the issue of these systems being learning systems, as you referenced earlier, how would programmers give these systems more data? I guess how it seems like they would have to sort of be aware of and be able to compensate for their own biases to give these systems more information, which would allow them to learn to sort of overcome them.
Right. So one of the first steps, I think, is by expanding the the set of people who are building these systems. So right now you have computer scientists and data scientists who are building these systems and deciding what data is fed into them. We should have behavioral scientists, we should have anthropologists, we should have political scientists and other types of expertise informing the types of data that go into these systems because they have different perspectives. They have different training with respect to what will matter within a decision-making construct. And if those things are ignored, then you don't have as good a system as if they were included from the beginning.
Bill Welser leads the Engineering and Applied Sciences Department at the RAND Corporation and is an author of the paper titled An Intelligence in Our Image, The Risks of Bias and Errors in Artificial Intelligence. We'll post a link at theshow.kjzz.org.